Good morning of Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. And you know, those leaves are growing on the trees and the flowers are coming up. This is a good time of year.
Well, I got to tell you, it's the weeds, the weeds. I was in that garden all weekend long. I mean, just ripping out weeds. So your hand just, you go to sleep. It's like watching the lines coming up when you're driving long distances. All you dream about is that you're picking up weeds.
And it allows those flowers to grow. So it's good work. Good work.
Well, thank you, David.
Now on to the work of the day. Let's talk a little bit about what seems to be the top discussion on most days, and that is Donald Trump. Now we're talking about this. There's no indication that Donald Trump will agree to soften his rhetoric when he meets this Thursday with House Speaker Paul Ryan. Trump, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, took to several TV interviews yesterday to make clear he won't change his views or his tone. Trump also says Ryan blindsided him by refusing to endorse him as the nominee.
Well, look, this guy has one chance of being president, and that is to be consistently the anti-establishment candidate. And why would he walk into a room and snap his fingers and say, okay, I'm giving up the mantle that I've been carrying around all this time? If he does that, then he's just another one of them. Look, I'm not a Trump fan, but I have to tell you, it makes an awful lot of sense to me that that is what he's doing and saying. Now, as the consummate deal maker that he always claims he is, we don't know what he's going to do when he walks inside that room with these people. Now, back to his chances for running for president and winning this office. We don't really know who's going to turn out in this election. He has identified a demographic, angry white men and others in this country, who have voted in large numbers in the past and who he's hoping will be the new silent majority and vote for him and make him president of the United States. And that could happen. It is looking to me, however, more and more like it won't happen, because there are just too many groups, the Hispanics, the women, the people of color. When you take all of that as an amalgam, college-educated men and women, when you take all of that as an amalgam, it doesn't look like they have a very good chance. And if you don't believe that, then, David, just look at what the Republicans are thinking. They're all scared to death. You have John McCain saying he's not sure he can win in Arizona his Senate seat if he's on the same ticket with Trump. So this is getting more and more interesting. But one thing everybody knows is that you cannot just assume that Trump will lose.
Of course, the field clear on the Republican side, but Bernie Sanders still in the race, also the anti-establishment candidate on the Democratic side. What do you see going forward here?
Well, you know, there are two choices. He can go to the convention, make his point, and I expect he will do that, and basically wag his finger at Hillary, even if he doesn't mention her by name, and say you can't sell out the principles of working men and women in the country. But then the question is, once Hillary runs for office, will Bernie Sanders do what he has to do to assure a victory, come over and campaign vigorously for Hillary? There is a lot of doubt about that at this point. So we'll have to see whether he decides that it is in the interest of the country to have a Democrat, any Democrat, as opposed to a Trump.
A continuing investigation into Governor Cuomo's former top aide, Joseph Prococo, and from the Daily News and Ken Lovett, probe into Joseph Prococo raises even more questions.
Well, look, this guy has really got some troubles. There are not many people that I have talked to who really believe that Prococo will implicate the governor, in which case Prococo will have to face whatever he has to face. On the other hand, his wife has been dragged into this, too. And that becomes added incentive to get out any way you can. It's one thing when it's just you. It's another when your wife is basically involved and has the potential for getting even more involved in the way in which the feds are looking at this and Preet Bharara. And then the second player that everybody's looking at is Todd Howe of the lobbying firm, which is a part of Whiteman, Osterman & Hanna, a huge and good operation in Albany. And I'm sure all the partners there and others are just really sick over all of this. Apparently, Howe has disappeared from their roster and has been, we think, fired. So this is unraveling, and the only question on the minds of most New Yorkers is, did the governor have anything to do with what these guys were allegedly doing?